This show is for general educational purposes only and is not a substitute for specific legal advice by a competent lawyer practicing in your jurisdiction.
Good morning, New York. I'm Elisa Geffner.
And I'm Carolyn Kirsch. We're partners in a matrimonial law firm, and we represent individuals that are involved in all issues under the divorce and family law umbrella. We've been working together for 17 amazing years, and we've helped so many people.
Welcome to Divorce and Happily Ever After, where we provide you with our insight about family, relationships, and how divorce can create an opportunity for personal growth and move you into the next chapter of life.
And today, we are very excited to be speaking with Gina Padro. She is a licensed associate broker for over 25 years. She is the team leader for the Gina Padro team at Keller Williams Realty, Greater Nassau. She holds 5 national designations. She's a member of the National Association of Divorce Professionals, and she holds the Certified Divorce Specialist Certification. Out of over 400 agents, Gina was the top producing agent in her office in both 2018 and 2019. She's achieved this by helping 74 clients reach their real estate goals. In 2020, Gina successfully closed 40 transactions and is on track to close 80 transactions in 2021, which is pretty impressive.
How many divorce transactions are we closing?
I stopped counting.
COVID's a hot market. So we're really excited. You know, we just passed our favorite holiday. I think we can mutually say that.
Fourth of July.
My son was born around this time, so I always love it. I love celebrating with him. He's certainly my firework. But we were really excited this time because after COVID, everybody was looking forward to really getting back to some sense of normalcy with respect to celebrating the holidays. And it was really nice. You know, the Macy's firework parade was, we heard tens of thousands of people gathered on the East River in the boroughs, and they were able to catch it. And I always think it's just so amazing, the fireworks. I'm so amazed by fireworks. And I was actually telling you, when I was in chemistry, the element, like, you had to do a lecture on elements.
Just when I thought I knew everything about Elisa, she whips this out.
And mine was uranium, which apparently is the firework element that goes into it and flares. And I had to do a whole chemistry thing in that in 11th grade, and I still remember that. But it was 65,000 shells and 5 barges and like 50 pyrotechnicians that put this spectacle on. And it's just, I just love watching it to the music. That's always so fun.
It is so fun. But I like seeing them in real life. That's my thing.
We did see them.
Yes, we did. So we'll tell you about our story in a moment. But, you know, what's as great as 4th of July was, like every 4th of July, we're always told how dangerous fireworks are. And there's always these tragedies and these freak accidents that you hear
Sad.
Of, which, you know, as much as I love fireworks, I like to see them at a distance. And, you know, have, who was it? The Columbus Blue Jackets. They had their goaltender. He died on Sunday. He was struck in the chest by a firework that came at him.
He was in a hot tub, right?
He was in a hot tub at...
So he wasn't even put, he just got...
Right, the way they described it, it didn't sound like he, you know, fireworks were being, you know, blown off right in front of him. It sounds like just some freak accident, and he was only 24 years old. It's just so sad.
Yeah, my ex-husband, he's a fireman for Cold Spring Harbor, and they're all the time trying to man the fireworks every year. That's a big thing that he does, and that they do around Long Island, and it's very important to have that. You know, there was a lot of reports on Long Island, and one particular in Deer Park, where a 13-year-old had a firework explode in his face. There's a lot of fireworks that go on over there. I know we see them. Every house has fireworks and what they're doing. And I think my husband was saying, because also Pennsylvania is now made it legal to sell fireworks. You used to have to take the drive down to the border, south of the border, and get your fireworks. But, you know, they're bringing them in from there, and it's kind of scary. And we were talking about it as it relates to just parenting in our business.
Yeah, I mean, I actually remember when I was a child, my father would set them off, and I would beg him, please don't do it. I was so nervous, you know, and I was nervous to be so close.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, but, you know, we do. We get calls from clients about, you know, precautions that they want to put in place to try to protect their children. But the thing is, unless it's something, you know, standard and ordinary, like don't operate a motor vehicle while you're drinking or something like that, you know, courts are not really inclined.
That's standard.
Well, I mean, that's something that that you can't do, period. But, you know, when it comes to other things and precautions that, you know, people want to put in place, sometimes clients will say, you know, what, does my child have to get hurt or there has to be an accident for there to be some restraint against certain behavior? And sometimes, you know, the answer is yes. And, you know,
decision making, you know, I mean, and I was actually before a judge the other day and he just said, you know, look, parents don't always make the right decisions. I mean, you can't be crucified for every one of them, but you have to be really careful. And I could imagine one of our clients getting wind that maybe this would be occurring at a house and they're in a split situation.
I had one client and his child was, I forget how old, I want to say 11 or 12. And the mom was dating this guy upstate and he had a cabin and guns and all of that scary stuff. And he was allowed to fire off firearms. And his dad, you know, my client was kind of like, number one, if that's going to happen, I want to be the one to do that with my son. And I don't think it should be happening at this age. And those are things you maybe take for granted, but they are major decisions. And I put in a lot of my agreements, you know, we've talked in the past about what legal custody is, which is the decision making and who gets to make the decisions. And I would say that, you know, could you say that being in close proximity to fireworks is a major decision? I mean, when you hear all
use
these tragedies,
guns, like you said, but that's a way of life for some people is going out and hunting and, you know, children being exposed at very young ages to that type of a thing. It's a hobby.
I was actually, I forget where I went with one of my friends and we met this couple at a restaurant that we started talking to and they pay ridiculous money to go on these safaris and they were saying that they were bringing their son who was of a pretty young age. But I mean, they sent me, showed me pictures and it was terrifying. I mean, really dangerous sport.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, to each their own, I guess. But, you know, talking about fireworks, like you said, I like to see them live. We got to share the holiday together with our five children.
Surprise! No, we're always together.
We were in a little cottage together, and we made it out alive. We were at Montauk, which is always a hike. I had one of my clients say, you go out there, like, the ride is just unbearable. By the time you get there, you want to, like, peel yourself off the windshield.
Well, with us and the five kids in the car, sometimes you feel that way, but
we watch a lot of movies.
We were trying movies, although I've learned, you know, I have to, like, update my collection because I have this, because who watches a DVD anymore? We watch them only in the car on these trips, and they're
like
aging
five
out of them.
We got through five movies, I think.
Lisa's like, are we watching Beauty and the Beast again? I'm like, what do you want me to tell you? Okay. I like cringe when it's my turn.
It's a movie for everyone. They all like it, the boys and the girls. I'm just saying, it's a movie for all ages. I saw both the boys were just like glued to it as well.
But they complain, but then ultimately it comes on. So now we've taken turns. The boys pick a movie, then the girls pick a movie. I'm just happy. I don't have to pick the movies because whatever I pick, someone's upset and it's my fault. So I'm happy. It's not my problem anymore.
So, and speaking of movies, because it was raining this weekend, we actually had to spend some of the time at the East Hampton Cinema, which was an experience in and of itself.
And I don't want to say our kids are spoiled, but, you know, we go to movies. It's the reclining black leather chairs. You know, every seat in the house is a good seat. You have plenty of room in front of you. They walk up and down the aisles because I can tell you that when we sit through a movie, I don't think I sit for more than 5 minutes. I'm constantly pouring more popcorn, cleaning up candy, opening candy wrappers, passing out water, wipes, tissue. I mean, it's somehow Elisa, I think, kind of sits there besides me saying, hold this, hold this, hold this. Everyone comes to me. But here, you know, it was like a standard theater.
It was packed.
And it was a standard theater. And they couldn't walk past the rows. And they were like, what's with this movie theater? They were all having a kind of hard time. And you were so close to the person in front of you coming off of COVID. It was a little unnerving.
And I think that each one of them said, because we were far back, they said, we can't see the screen. I said, well, if you take your eyes off your iPad for once in your life, because you see everything at nose view, you could actually maybe see a screen that is, you know.
No, but what you take for granted, besides the fact that we were all the way in the back, was, you know, if you're a kid and you have someone tall sitting in front of you, an adult, they practically can't see. I had someone sitting in front of me and I felt like I couldn't see. Not that I am vertically challenged.
That feathered hat was definitely something you had to see through. So, but it was really fun. It was beautiful. And going in back to the fireworks, we really did see some beautiful, beautiful fireworks out in Montauk.
So everywhere you looked, and we ate outside for dinner, and it was just so beautiful. And again, the fireworks were afar, so there was no issues with the kids.
The cold pressed lime juice and the margaritas was really a highlight for me.
Especially when Elisa, after we went shopping, she walked out and she's admiring like bushes. I'm like, what is she looking at? She's like, is that mint? I'm like, are you kidding me?
That was
and
legit.
She gets down. She's like,
I smelled
mint.
It.
Can I pick some? I'm like, my son is having a heart attack. He's like, you're going to get in trouble. You can't pick the trees.
I picked him. It was the best margaritas you had all weekend.
Best mint margarita I had all weekend.
So, but we're really excited about our guest who's coming up, Gina, who, as you had said, is really an amazing, amazing top-selling broker. And it reminds us of everything that we have to deal with the marital residence. And I always say, if I write a divorce book, it is going to be called The House. I think everything surrounds this house and, you know, to keep it, to not keep it.
That is the question.
Right. That is totally the question.
But my divorce 101, which people always ask me, is my answer is don't leave the house. Because once you leave the house, you know, if you have two people who want to get divorced and they're miserable, when one person leaves the house, the other person is sitting pretty and they're less motivated to get the deal done. From a custody perspective, it creates challenges because if you're the party leaving and you leave the kids with the other spouse, you can't then say that party's unfit because presumably they're fit because you just left. So
you definitely like release a lot of control. If you don't take your things, you don't know what's going to happen to them. And I'm surprised that that happens a lot, people leaving things. And, you know, and also then the other part is living in the house with your spouse going through the divorce, I know is so difficult for our clients. That's one of the hardest things.
It's purgatory. But again, that's one of the things that sometimes get it done.
And now it's time to bring in our guest. Welcome, Gina. Thank you so much for being here. You know, I know what you have to talk about is something that is definitely on a lot of people's minds. You know, as we said, Gina is the top broker. And what is going on with our housing market at this time is just unbelievable. We know in our business what we hear because we deal with it all the time. I mean, how is it out there? Tell us, on Long Island.
It has been a very interesting 2020 into 2021. Our housing prices have been increasing incrementally. Year over year, we're up over 14%. Month over month, we're up 7%. Those are pretty big jumps.
When did it start? When did that, like, because we were all quiet during COVID, right?
As soon as we got out of COVID, as a community, we thought that perhaps, as the real estate community, we thought perhaps the market was going to completely tank. Like, we thought, you know, we were going to come out of this pandemic, no one has jobs, no one has money, you know, and the complete opposite happened. And it was really fueled by people being stuck in their homes and realizing it's too small, it's too big, I need more room, I need a backyard. And that just really propelled
it. I think we both redecorated completely after being stuck, right?
We did. I put off forever and, you know, things that I was like, you know what, it doesn't really matter. Or, you know, I'm dealing with it. And you stare at those walls and it's like, all right, I'm redoing this. We're ripping out the carpet, new furniture.
Coming out from the city? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, we're seeing a huge amount of people coming from the boroughs into the suburbs. And we think that's primarily because, I mean, I said it to my husband, you know, if it was myself, my husband, our children locked in a 2-bedroom apartment for 3 months, someone's not getting out alive, right? I mean, right. You need more space. At least throw them in the backyard so they can play. And that really prompted it.
Right. Yeah.
Do you find that people are scared to still be there or just the space issue?
I think it's more space issue. I mean, they're not fond of the, you know, the close living, you know, that they had experienced. I think so. The space is really the main thing. And I think the outdoor space is even bigger, because when you could not leave your house at all, you know, that and where we had the benefit of a backyard.
And most people are like going where like the trains would be, you know, mm-hmm. Is that a majority of things happening?
Well, everyone's realizing not going back to work 5 days a week. You know, if you live in Manhattan, if you work in Manhattan, you don't necessarily have to live in Manhattan or even Queens. People aren't even fully back yet. And those that are going back, from what I've been hearing, I'm sure you're hearing the same thing, is only 2 or 3 days a week. So they're willing to go a little further around the island than maybe they were before, even out of Queens.
Yeah, in our courts, we're getting the choices now to be able to go virtual or not. And, you know, and people are making those decisions. And a lot of people are opting to just stay virtual.
Yeah.
Because we found out it actually works.
Yes. No one ever thought it would prior to this. And we all found out that it could. I mean, even in my industry, during COVID, I was doing Zoom calls with sellers. Right. I was doing walkthroughs with buyers.
And didn't you guys have like those things where you would go in the cars and do closings? What was that like?
Yeah, so that was interesting because we were trying to minimize the number of people in a room. So the poor title closers, I mean, I give them kudos because they were the ones running back and forth between the rooms, between the clients, in their cars, who's in the parking lot, who's in a conference room inside the building.
And showing houses during COVID.
We were not allowed to.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah, we were not allowed to. Agents couldn't be present, but buyers and sellers could be together. So we could facilitate the appointment, and then I would be on Zoom with whichever client was mine while the appointment was going on. But we were not allowed by executive order to physically be present at the property.
That's wild.
Were there a lot of sales during COVID?
Not as many as we'd had previously, but still business was you know, I personally, you know, during the time that we were locked down, put 5 properties under contract, which would be a normal month for me. But, you know, we was not nothing normal about what happened to us.
Did people ever do that, like, sight unseen?
Yes. I had one where they never stepped foot in the house until they went for the home inspection.
Were they happy when they went?
They bought it.
Yeah.
So they continued through. You know, we also brought into the mix a lot more video, you know, Matterport, which is like 3D walkthroughs, just, you know, me walking through the house on my own, amateur video, but it gave people a better sense of what the properties were.
Yeah.
So. And from like a divorce perspective, mm-hmm. one of the issues we always have is, you know, one party wants to buy the other party out, when they're going to sell the house, you know, and I think, you know, I reached out to you a couple of times and mm-hmm. asked you as a favor, can you, you know, look at this appraisal that we received and, you know, what do you think? Do you think it's reasonable? Because the buyout numbers, right, you know, it's not the time to buy out your spouse.
No, the buyout numbers right now are so elevated and we're just seeing that continue to go up. So the other challenge with an appraisal that's done today is that those appraisers are looking at data from 3 months ago. So in the real estate market, it takes anywhere from 60 to 90 days to close. So if you went into contract, say, even say 2 weeks after you put your house on the market, which is not uncommon in this market, you know, they're looking 90 days in the past. Even those numbers are not valid anymore.
Are people closing quicker at all? Or no?
Quicker than they were, I'm going to say, excuse me, last August, September. We were really delayed in terms of the county and the town being able to produce because they didn't have staff in order to give us our searches.
It's gotten better,
so we're back to our 60 to 90 day.
Yeah, and I remember when we were talking about this, I had asked you, you know, because appraisals are so difficult at this point to pinpoint what a value is, and a spouse might say, well, let's put it on the market. Mm-hmm. And see what the true value is, because that's the only real way you can figure that out. And then I'll buy it out at the right of first refusal. Mm-hmm. And I asked you, would you get involved in a deal like that where you're not actually closing with a third party, but then the husband's going to come in at that number or the wife's going to come in at that number and actually take the deal and buy out the family home?
Right. I would definitely take something like that. Obviously, there would have to be some kind of modification with the compensation because we are still doing work. We are still advertising. We're still spending time. You know, but if they come to an agreement, in my experience, once the true number comes in, the parties typically are like, no, thank you. I wouldn't pay that for this house, you know, when someone else will.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with these appraisals. You know, some of the appraisals come in and, you know, I had one closer to when we started coming out of COVID. And I think you and I spoke about it.
Yeah.
Gina,
yes, we did, yeah.
And the number was just so low compared to what the market would bear. Mm-hmm. And my, you know, and it was hard to explain to the court, oh, we have this appraisal, but my client's not accepting it, which happens from time to time, mm-hmm. right? And then it's a battle of the appraisers. But in this case, you had said it was just so not even within the range of what they could get. So as divorce attorneys, we're now having such a hard time where before appraisals, you know, helped us resolve cases, they don't really do all that much. And as you said, I think you're point is you're looking in the rearview mirror,
yes,
right?
Yes, 100%. And, you know, when there's a specific need for a buyer, they'll pay for it. They'll overpay for it. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to see. And, you know, we've started to see it slow down a little bit. It's not as crazy, hectic,
like rush,
on fire,
right?
Rush 50 people at an open house that we had been seeing. When someone has that specific need, they'll pay the money. You know, I've had deals that were 60, 70, 80, 110,000 over asking price. I've had, you know, buyers who put those numbers in and didn't get the house. So,
yeah,
you put it out on the open market, it's fair game.
It's crazy. And also an issue we have is if you have one party that's buying the other spouse out, or say you're selling the house, now they need someplace to live, right?
Yeah.
So either they're looking for an apartment or they're looking to downsize and buy another house. I mean, what are you finding with respect to the inventory for rentals and homes?
So the rental inventory is very, very tight. And the reason for that is because the housing market is so hot that instead of people keeping their investment properties, they're capitalizing on the equity that they have and they're selling them.
Right.
So now those are becoming primary residences for a lot of people. So, and plus the prices associated with rentals is very high.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, though, if you're selling at a high market, you're also buying at it.
You certainly are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, for people that have been in their houses, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, they've paid down a lot of their debt. So what it costs them to live in the house you know, let's call it $3,000 a month, okay, for them, for their mortgage and taxes. And then they go to look at a rental, a 2-3 bedroom rental, and it's $3,800 or $4,000. They can't wrap their brain around it. It makes it very difficult.
Are there a lot of people leaving New York?
Tons.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
I hear Florida is...
Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Arizona, Texas.
Interesting.
Those are like the top states that people from Long Island, New York are moving to.
I think that's our next vacation list.
Take me with you.
You know, and we always, we have a segment at the end of our show called Tales from the Bar where we tell our war stories about things. And, you know, I know you represent a lot of people who are divorcing, as we just discussed. And do you have any kind of interesting stories? I know it doesn't get as crazy from your end, but.
Yeah, thankfully I don't experience what you two experience. However, I do have one story where I had a client who actually, the husband was the one that brought me into the, you know, to meet him and his soon-to-be ex. So she had her guard up, you know, a little understandably, and refused to come out of her bedroom when I first arrived there. About 20 minutes after I'd been there, whatever, she finally surfaced, you know, said she wasn't feeling well or whatever. She sat down with me, and within 15 minutes, we were like BFFs. Turns out our kids went to the same camp and, you know, just a lot of common ground.
It's always the camp connection.
Yeah. It always is the kids. So I thought that she was going to be the difficult party when in actuality, he wound up being the really difficult party in it. There's not, in 25 years in the business, there's not a lot that rattles me. This one, he had a way of rattling me.
It must be interesting, though, to get it from both people and just like being sort of in the middle. At least we just represent one person. You're, in a sense, representing two people with divergent issues.
And what do you think is, as a broker, what do you think is the most important thing when dealing with divorcing people selling their house?
I think the most important thing is to have them both trust you. And the way I do that is I tell both parties, I say, anything related to the sale of the house, you will both hear from me. You, Mrs. Seller, you want to call me and speak to me about whatever else, that will always stay with me in the vault. Mr. Seller, same thing. That will always stay with me in the vault. Well, when it comes to the house, everyone's going to get the information. I just think that gives them peace of mind that no one's being left out of the transaction.
And I think we had a problem with one of our clients who really filed a grievance, actually, against the broker because he felt like he was not getting the offers that were coming through for some reason. And he filed a grievance against
that
broker.
And if you're working for both parties, especially knowing that situation, how someone would, you know, play favorites like that and not give the information. I mean, I had a case and that occurred and, you know, the broker was so one-sided toward one party that the other party ultimately said, I'm not working with them.
Yeah.
And they had to switch.
And I could see how that would easily happen, you know? So that's why I try and make clear lines. And I put us in a group text, and this is where this one went bad.
Group texts always go bad. Especially if it's a group of moms.
Yeah.
What are those things
called? You have to silence the alerts.
Yes. So you don't get
Carolyn them. is on a...
But so, obviously, our title is Divorce and Happily Ever After. Yeah. So you have been happily married for how many years?
23 years this August.
And you have three children. What are their ages?
34, 20, and 19.
What is your secret for keeping everyone happy, content?
Nothing is ever 50-50. If you come into a marriage thinking that it's always going to be 50-50, you're off the mark. There's always give and take. There's always compromise. There's always, I like to say, shifting and pivoting that goes on just to keep everyone happy.
So, you're the 34-year-old. What's the age different reason and everything like that?
So the 34-year-old, she's not biologically mine. However, I call her mine. My husband had been married previously, and he gained custody of her when she was 9. So he and I raised her.
How is that stepping into that role? Like, you know?
In the beginning, I was very young when I met her. I mean, I was in my 20s. And I didn't give it much thought then, you know, but as things started to heat up with his ex, then I was like, what am I doing?
It was a great thing for her, you know? I mean, that opportunity divorce gave her to, you know, have that influence.
Yeah.
And my parents are divorced, and I always say, you know, kids can never have enough love. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you make good choices as parents moving on to, you know, new people, for kids to have, you know, like my kids, for example, had three sets of grandparents. Who doesn't want more grandparents?
Right.
You know, more babysitters for me and more love and spoiling for the kids. So it can be a beautiful
more
thing.
Influences, yeah. Positive influences, yes. You know, seeing you and how you grew into your career and doing what you're doing and having that influence as a mother and with a daughter. It's just, it's really a blessing.
Yeah. And I'm very fortunate to have an amazing relationship with her because it could have gone bad, right? We've seen situations where it has, where they're not accepting of, you know, the new spouse. And,
right.
I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, she must be a really good girl, too.
And your other two kids are in college together.
Yes, two in college, same college.
So if that's not a testament, right? Boy, girl, and they wanted to go away together.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, that's great. That's good. I wonder if any of our five are going to go away together.
I wonder. Her daughter and my one daughter, May, they'll be like dorming together.
Totally.
Nothing
wrong
with that.
In the city. They'll, you know, see ya.
Does the mama heart good when you have them together? That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
That must make you really so happy.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
And only one place to visit.
Yes. One move in, one move out, same holidays, same vacation.
Graduation. Oh, well, they're year apart, yeah. Right? So, yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So, but it was great having you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to sit here with you today. This is amazing.
And thank you for taking the time. And, you know, I know everyone wanted to hear all about the housing market. So thanks for answering some of our questions.
You're welcome.
So being two divorce attorneys, whenever we go to a cocktail event or a party or a social gathering and we tell people that we are divorce attorneys, they're always saying, what is the craziest story that you've heard? And we've certainly heard a lot of crazy stories. That's part of, you know, what we do and with our clients. So if you have a question for us or a comment or something you want to know, you can visit us on our website, which is divorceandhappilyeverafter.com, where you can submit any inquiry, comments, things, topics you want us to discuss. We would be happy to do so.
One thing, you know, War of the Roses, everyone wants to hear our funny stories.
Talking about the house.
And it was a case I had COVID time, and one party lived in the basement and the other party lived in the main part of the house. And, you know, they're going through COVID, very contentious, driving themselves crazy. And one of the spouses would actually blast the music at all odd times just to annoy to no end the other spouse. It's crazy, but those are the things you have to deal with. But I think at the end of the day, having that close proximity, you know, it like we were talking about, divorce 101, don't leave the house. The case ultimately settled because it was just so difficult and toxic for them to continue living together.
Yeah, that's what happened. And you have to, you know, be careful. We deal a lot with the times with people recording people and cameras in the house. We've had so many people dealing with that where, you know, people put up cameras and they're watching your every move, pointing them to the bedrooms and doing, you know, a lot of things with that and trying to record every single move, which might not necessarily be the best look for anybody. We always say that, you know.
And what people also don't always realize, but, you know, if you put recording devices in a home, you know, it's wiretapped. Unless you're a party to the communication. So if I'm recording me and Elisa, that's not wiretapping. I know we're being recorded. But
well, we're really being recorded.
We are indeed. But, you know, if you just put something, you know, in someone's car and you're not in the car, that's illegal. So sometimes you try to jam up another spouse that way and you could be hit with criminal charges.
Yeah. I recently had, you know, one where we find those things under bedrooms in offices, people trying to get information and they're successful in doing it. Also, with the, I don't know if you call it an invention, but the high use of the Ring doorbell, we're seeing a lot of encounters on that.
Because if you think it's evidence when someone leaves, when someone comes home, you know, when people are stuck in the house living together, you hear about people sneaking out at certain times to meet, you know, their significant others or whatever the case may be. And now you caught them red-handed, what time they left, what time the other spouse was in.
I think I subpoenaed Ring doorbell. Recently, for an altercation that occurred outside in the front, and seeing what happens. And I know the police officers are going back and using those things as well.
So you have to be careful of what's on there. I even had a woman who was served with divorce papers, and part of what happens when I won't get into all the details, but when you're served, you're restrained from doing certain things. You can't get rid of marital property, give it away, sell it. And we caught on Ring. She was a very petite woman, and you saw her stuffing stuff in her jacket and her pants and smuggling things out of the house. And it was money from their safe and jewelry. And while you didn't necessarily know what was underneath, I mean, it's kind of damning evidence to see that happen. And my client had it on video.
Wow. The age of technology, as they say.
But as Elisa, you know, had in a few of her cases, you have an issue where you have Ring, and then people are fighting over passwords and who has possession of the Ring and who took the Ring doorbell out.
Off.
Off. It's just one more thing to
fight over. I guess the access. Access is always key. So anyway, it was really great speaking to you guys. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach us at GefnerKirsch.com, telephone number 516-268-9898. Again, like I said, if you have any inquiry or comments, you could visit us on our website for the show, which is divorceandhappilyeverafter.com. We look forward to talking to you again.
Bye.